we're in the book of James. James is an awesome, awesome book for many, many reasons. But one of the things I love about the James is so practical. I already say so practical. And it's interesting because the truth is every book in the Bible is very practical. This is a book to teach you how to live. Let me park there for a minute. This is a book to teach you how to live. This is a training center. We are here to change. Somebody say, I'm here to change. I'm here to draw close to God and be inspired by His Word and recognize if I will start to follow like the apostles, you know what? Jesus said, Jesus said to the apostles, lay down your nets and follow me. And so they followed him. The blessing wasn't that they were following him, right? This wasn't a Simon Says exercise. They were following him, listening to his teachings. They were disciples. They were being discipled. We've lost track of the importance. We don't understand. And this will kind of freak some people out because you'll think that I'm patting myself on the back. I'm not. It's not about that. But in the back in that day, they would sit under different rabbis' teachings. And they understood mentorship. They understood the importance of learning and being taught. They didn't just go home and turn on the television and were entertained. There were no TVs back then. This is deeper than you think. There were no TVs back then. There was no internet then. And they put a high value in sitting underneath wise spiritual men that they could glean from their words. So the blessing that the apostles had as they followed Jesus is that they were listening to his teachings. And his teachings were going in their mind and going in their heart. Repetition is the motor of learning. And so they became followers of Christ. They became disciples of Jesus Christ. Remember, then later on after Jesus left, they looked at these guys, and here's what they said. They noticed that they picked up how Jesus taught. Up to that point, it was a very politically correct, much like today, very politically correct what you should say and what you shouldn't say. And what they wanted to make sure you didn't say is you didn't say anything different than the rabbi before you and the rabbi before him and the rabbi before him and the rabbi before him. So there were so many rabbis before Jesus' day that when the rabbis in Jesus' day stood up, they were so milquetoast, they kind of didn't say anything that shocked anybody because their main objective was not to offend. And I have to, Paul praise, he says, pray for me that I would be bold to speak what I ought to speak. Understanding what he was talking about is he was talking about the political correctness of the day where I should say something, but I'm afraid to say something because I know someone in the audience, I know what they're going through, and if I say that, they might be offended and they might get mad at me and they might leave. I remember years and years ago, you know what, thinking that very thing. I started to say something led by the Holy Spirit that were already in my notes, it's already what I knew I needed to say, and I started to say that, and then I saw someone, and I knew, because in the course of time, pastors start finding out what's going on, you know what, and I knew something, and I knew, I thought in my mind real quick, you know, your mind can think so quick, you know this, and I thought in my mind before I said, I thought, oh, I better not say that, because if I say that, they'll think that I'm trying to say it about them. And you know what the Holy Spirit said? He said, Drew, that's none of your business. So I led you to say that, and I might be talking to them. That might be the very word that's going to set them free. But you've let your personality get into it, and because, you know what, you are about you, now I can't even use you because you're going to manipulate it before, and you're going to start judging, well, I better not say that. I better not say this. I better not say this. And what we've done is we've said, well, you know what, Pastor, you better not say that because you're being manipulative. Well, what I learned, I could be manipulative either way. I could be manipulative in saying something, and I need to make sure I didn't do that. But I found out I could be manipulative in not saying something. And then I thought, I just saw it very clearly, and I made up my mind. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, and I started praying, Father, help me to pray what you, help me to say what you have me to say, and help me to do what you have me to do. And I just thought, you know what? It don't make any difference. It's not about me. It's not up to me. And if God wants, if I can't be obedient to speak what God wants me to speak, then he's going to find somebody else who will be used by me. And I don't want to not be used by God. You know what? When I played water polo, I didn't like when the coach took me out to rest. You know what I mean? I'll be like, you know, out for 3 minutes, say, hey, coach, I'm rested enough. Let me back in the game. And I'm the same way in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be out of the game. I want to be in the game. Amen. Amen. But this is about, this is a training center. This is a place. This is a book. And every book is that way. And including James. James is very, very practical. And we're going to learn some stuff today. So we're still in the first chapter, but that's okay. We're not in a rush. Amen. The goal isn't to see how fast we can get through James. Amen. So we're gonna finish up the first chapter. So James, first chapter, starting with verse 19. And I'll read the whole chapter. Follow with me up on the screens, and then we'll just break it down. James chapter 1, verse 9, starting with verse 19. So then, my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Everybody say swift to hear. Okay. Everybody says be slow to speak. Okay, now say it slower. Okay, that was good. Okay. Slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflow wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, everybody say it, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotless in the world. Father, help me to say what you have me to say and do what you have me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's talk about four things. We'll start off this. Four things that will stop the growth of God in your life. How many want to continue to grow in the things of God? Well, we need to know, and I'll go over, don't get mad at me, I'll get on the positive side in a minute, but I do want to take some time, and even this isn't negative, it's not negative to observe what you need to not do. Amen? When you tell a kid, hey, make sure you don't run in the street. You know what? That kid doesn't need to look at you and say, well, you shouldn't be so negative. Okay, that's nice. Don't run in the street, okay? So it is a very good learning tool to know what not to do. And it's throughout the Word of God. That's where I'm getting this stuff, right from James. James is the one who's saying, hey, make sure you don't do this. So we're going to talk about four things that will, what they'll do is they'll stunt the growth. They'll you know, you can offend the Holy Spirit. You can stifle the Holy Spirit in your life. You can God loves you and he wants to work with you, but in your attitude, mainly your attitude, you can just cause God to say, hey, you know what? You need to work on your attitude. And so these are some things that you'll see that will be helpful to make sure we're not doing these things. Number one, please write these down because these are very helpful. Number one, make sure that you talk. This will hurt. This will stop. This will hinder the move of God in your life if you make sure you talk a lot and listen a little. I know you don't know anybody like this. And they talk and they talk and they talk. They do all this talking, but they don't listen to anybody else. Okay, that will hurt you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's going to hurt you. Okay, make sure that you talk a lot and listen a little. That's going to hurt you. If you do that, that's not going to be good. James, look at James verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren. He's not even talking to non-Christians. This is a training center. This is where we're talking to Christians. And we're talking about how do we allow God to grow in our life. Well, here's how we do it. We let every man, here, let me, this is, I love this kind of verbiage because it's so clear. Can I tell you what every man means? You know this because I've gone over this, but watch this. This is repetitive in the Word of God. Whether it's James or Peter or Paul, they all speak in the way. They want to make sure every single person understands. That's what I did over here as I started pointing because we just think, oh, this is, because I'm not, I don't, woo. This is for everyone. Let every man do what? Be swift to what?
Hear.
Swift to hear. Swift to hear. Swift to hear. And I learned this because, and I'm still working on it. But many times somebody is talking and you're not even hearing them. You know why you're not hearing them? Because you're already figuring out a story that you're going to tell them. And so you're not listening to them. And you've heard this. You just really open, you know what? You want to open up your friendship. You want to have more friends. You want to be closer to people. Here, you know, this is so good. Here, do this. So somebody comes over your house. Oh, man, I'm going through this, and I just need somebody. I just really need your counsel. I really need your counsel. I really need to know what you think. And this happened, 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 and this happened. And they talk for 25 minutes, and then their phone rings and says, oh, I got to go. But thank you so much. Your words were so helpful. And you think, I didn't even say anything. You know, it was, what did I say? But can I tell you what you did? You know, the truth is, and I've done this. This just happened to me this last week. I started talking. I was talking to Vegas, asking her about something. And as I started talking, I was like, oh, my goodness. I already know the answer. Many times what these people need is they don't really need your input. You know what they need? They need your friendship. They need somebody just to listen to them. When you listen to somebody, you know what you're saying? I care about you. I care about you. And it's not, listen, you can talk. And you know, no, 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 be quiet. I care about you. Be quiet because I want to tell you. And guys, we're especially good at this. And not because we're bad people, but because we're solution-oriented. I was getting in so many fights with my wife because, you know what, she wouldn't listen to me. I hope you caught the irony there. I hope you caught the irony there. I used to get in so many fights because she wouldn't listen to me. Because she'd start to talk and she wouldn't listen to me. I hope you caught the irony there. Because she'd start to talk and she wouldn't listen to me. Because Yeah, thank you. She started to talk and she wouldn't listen to me. Well, who's talking? She's talking. I'm the one not listening. But she'd start to talk and I'd already figure, well, I don't know the answer to that. You know, she'd just be quiet. I'd tell her how to fix her problems. How many know my wife? My wife's a pretty competent person. She really wasn't trying to listen. She really wasn't trying to catch advice. She just was looking for her husband to be her friend. Amen. But we're that's a clue to how, Pastor, I just want to be able to minister to people more. Well, you'll minister to people a lot by just being quiet and just listening to them. So be swift to hear. We do just the opposite. We're slow to hear, swift to talk. But the Bible says be swift to hear, slow to speak. Does that make sense? Yeah. Have you ever said anything you wish you hadn't said? Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, number two, make sure if you want to stifle the growth of God in your life, do this. Make sure that you have a short fuse. Make sure that you have a short fuse. Yeah, I know I'm not talking to anybody. So look what it says. So then, my beloved, again, talking to Christians, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Everybody say slow to wrath. We live in a society when we've grown up in the society where it's so easy. We just get mad. We just get ticked. We just get irritated. We have become very, we're a society that is very focused on ourselves, very decadent, very, in last days, men will become lovers of self. And that what that turns into is a situation where you're just very quick to just fly off the handle. This is probably generation more than any other generation has the shortest fuse that we've ever had. Short fuse, you know what I mean? You know what? You ever had a firework and it's got a long fuse, but then it just and it goes off. So you got this. Your fuse is this long now. Like, oh, and you're thinking, you know what? I mean, the thing costs, 58 cents. You know what I mean? You ought to just throw it away, but you're no, I'm gonna do it anyway. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And what the point is, when you hit that thing, it's gonna go, you know what I mean? And I know we all have legal fireworks. Nobody does illegal fireworks. Amen. Especially in Pico Rivera. I'm just saying, amen. Come on. Can we get real with somebody? It's like unbelievable. You know what I mean? We got better fireworks in Pico Rivera than they got in Anaheim. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Amen, man. It's the truth. But I'm saying, you know what? That fuse gets so short and we still want to use that firework. You know what? Where it's like, you know, that's some, love you guys. Love you guys. That's some of our lives. It's like, you know what I mean? You come in, you're like, you know what? Hey, what's up? You know what I mean? You know, it's firework time. You know what I mean? You're like, what? Huh? Can I tell you what? This is not the Spirit of God. This just stifles the Spirit of God. Spirit of God's like, oh, I hate when that. It's not. No. We're patient. We're slow. Okay. You want to stifle the move of God in your life? Here, do this. Compromise all the time. Be hypocritical. Let your religion be not something that you do. Let it be just something that you talk about. Look at verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the plan of word. Therefore, lay aside filthiness. Are you doing something? I don't know. I'm not here to criticize you. I'm not here to chastise you. I'm not here to be self-righteous in front of you. But I am here to proclaim what James says, knowing that James wrote this a long time ago, but knowing that the Spirit of God worked through James, knowing that the Spirit of God knew that I would be here today. And you would be in your seat. So let me ask you, if there's filthiness in your life, so
See, you know why we don't want to say things are a sin anymore? Because when we say things are a sin, now there's wrong and then there's right. Can I tell you, it doesn't make any difference. There's wrong and there's right. There's things that people do and they're filthy. And I don't have time to go over that list. Can I tell you one? And not to I'm not calling anybody out. I am observing what is going on in our society. Pornography is a huge problem in our society. And now it's a huge problem in the church because men get hooked on pornography. Pornography is so addicting. And it's really problematic because there's such a negative stereotype, and so there's a lot of judgment against it. And so the very thing that men should be doing, which is confidentially, not that you'd run up here and say, "Pastor, you know what, I watch pornography three times a week and I need to repent of sin." Not that you would do that, because that would probably be inappropriate. But you could come up to me after and we could get on a schedule. Or not even come up to me after, because you know what, but you could call me and I'd work with you. But the problem is that we have stereotyped it so bad that men just think, "Well, I'm just the only one in the church that does this," and it's just not true. I'm telling you statistically, it's just not true. So if that's you, then just call me. You know what? Just call me, and I'll have you read some books, and we'll, you know what, I can talk to you once a week at least, and we can start working through that. No, I'm going to do it on my own. Oh, you are? How's that been working for you so far? I'm just asking. Because if you're like most men, you know what, some even Christian men, it's not working. It just continues to be hid, and you continue to be in this cycle of shame, and you repeat the sin, and you just feel condemnation, and you can't tell anybody, and then Satan just beats you up on it, like you're the scum of the earth. You're not the scum of the earth. But you do live in 2016, where you have the access to pornography right on your phone, you know what, and you have these endorphins that are just blowing up in your head every time you go through this, which is addictive as cocaine, and for the most part, pastors don't even talk about it. And so you feel more condemned. And I'm not here to condemn anybody. I am here to say, just lay aside this filthiness. That behavior is not okay. And if you're married, even if you're married, you're married because you're married to Jesus Christ. So if you're single, you're married. If you're married, you're married. And if you're married, then your wife deserves you to be pure. And if you're married to Christ, Christ deserves you to be pure. And we're all married to Christ. Does that make sense? So I'm not talking about condemnation. And ladies, I mean, you got your issues. I don't have time to go into your issues. That was a little joke. What? We'll be here all day. We'll be here all night. Just joking. We'd just be here tonight and tomorrow. But anyway, go on, moving on. We all have our issues, but we need to lay this aside. Number four, you want to stifle the move of God in your life. You want to stifle the Holy Spirit. Make sure that you are a know-it-all. Look what it says, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with what? Meekness. See? No. I already know everything. I already know everything. I already know everything. I already know. Pastor, I know that. Okay. That attitude is pride, and the Bible says Christ resists it. All right. So let's talk about a couple more things, and then we'll end. Let's talk about two things. Let's talk about true religion. Everybody say true religion.
True religion.
And everybody say fake religion.
Fake religion.
When I say religion, I'm not talking about in the negative. I'm talking about in the positive. True religion in that it's a real relationship with Christ. That's what I'm talking about. What's true religion and what's a fake religion? Well, let's talk about fake religion first. Fake religion is self-deceived and forgetful. Self-deceived and forgetful. Look at James 26. If anyone among you, you see this terminology? It's throughout the Word of God. Anyone, who's that? That God is speaking to every single person here. If anyone, this applies to everyone. If anyone among you, what's that next word? Come on, follow me with me. What's that next word? Thinks he is religious. You know what? Listen, I go to Hope Community Church. I go there every week. I go Sunday and Wednesday. Okay? That's nice. Okay. You think you are religious. Okay, so let's talk about what is the criteria. Remember what I said? I said if you what earlier? I said if you're a negative person, I'll know you're a negative person because you'll be negative in your speech. Your speech will expose who you are, period. You know what? You can fake some of the people some of the time, but you can't fake anybody who will listen to you for a week. I just made that up, but I like that. Okay, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but in the truth, you can't fake anybody out if they'd be with you a week. I remember John Maxwell said he was at a pastor's conference, and John Maxwell said, if I hung out with you for a week, I'd be able to figure out exactly what was going on in your life. Let me say this. If I hung out with you a week, I'd be able to figure out what was really going on. I'd be able to figure out, listen to me, if you were, oh, this is good. This is good. Okay. If I hung out with you for a week, I'd be able to figure out whether you were really had a relationship with God or whether you were just religious. I'd be able to figure it out. Okay. Why? Because you would expose yourself. All I would have to do is just listen. If any among you thinks he is religion, see the thing? See that word thinks? You could think. You ever know somebody who, you're like, they think they're a rock star? Amen? You ever know anybody like that? True story. This is years and years and years ago. We were over in the North Sanctuary, and I meet this guy for the first time, and he's, you know what, and so this girl introduced, hey, this is my friend, boom, 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 and you know what, and he said, yeah, I'm a singer. I said, oh, really? Yeah. He said, yeah, I'm a singer. And then he said, you know who I love? Who is the singer for Queen? Freddie Mercury. You ever heard he's passed away, but you ever hear Freddie Mercury sing? I mean, this guy has octave like, I mean, he's just very, 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 very off the chart singer. You know what I mean? And he said this to me. He said, you know, just so you know, I sing like Freddie Mercury. I was like, really? And then he said this. And then I love what he said. He said this. No, you need to understand. I sing just like Freddie Mercury. And who knows? He might have. I don't know. But how many know he might not have sing like Freddie Mercury? Come on, how many know that's true? See, here's all I'm pointing out. Just because you think you're a rock star doesn't mean you're a rock star. Amen? And what you think, and many people think they're religious because they come to church. Now, let me say this because it's an important thing to say. This is really, really important. Because in our society, in our Christian society, in our Christian circles, there's so many people
that they think they don't need to come to church. You talk about craziness. That's crazy. No, I'm a bowler. 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 You know what I mean? When's the last time you went bowling? Oh, 1963. I'm just telling you, this is foolishness. It's foolish because let me tell you what. Let me tell you what, Tamara and I. This is true. I remember going to this conference. It was an annual conference for Transformation Ministries, and we go there every year. We go there to support our leadership, and we go there every year. And I remember this one year, we were at Pomona Purpose Church, and it was right after praise and worship, and then the word got taught, and then, you know, it was part of the conference, and then they dismissed everybody. And Tamara and I are there in the front row, because that's where we sit in the front row. I'm just telling you where I sit. You know why I sit in the front row? Because the front row is the best seat. Because the front row, I have less distractions than any other row. Okay. I'm just telling you. Okay. But we sat in the front row, and we were waiting for Dr. Nolte. He was talking to some people. And as I sat there, I just looked at my wife, and I said, you know what? I just love church. Can I tell you what? I love church. I love being around, as imperfect as we all are. I love hanging out with you guys. You are my brothers and you are my sisters. And I love being with you. I love worshiping with you. I love teaching the Word of God. I love listening to the Word of God. I went to Esperanza Sunday. Oh man, I'm telling you what, Pastor George is a great pastor. He's a great, great, great speaker. And he, anyway, it's just a really good sermon. I love it. So don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about not showing up to church. I'm just saying, just because you show up to church, you know what? According to James, will prove whether your religion is true or you're a phony. Here's what will prove it. Your words. Amen. Your tongue. I'm just saying. And if that cuts you, then good. Be cut. Don't resist the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You can the Word of God can become in no effect by, watch this, your tradition. You think you're religious because you go to church. And James says, that's not, come to church. That's important. But that's not what makes you true religion. True religion is this stuff is inside of you, and it changes your heart. And so your vocabulary is different. Your speech pattern is different. You think optimistically. You talk optimistically. You talk faith. You meditate on that which is good. You can't, listen, if you're not meditating on that which is good, you're not going to speak what is good. Finally, brethren, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever, think on those things. You can't think on the positive things and speak the negative things. Let me tell you what, Jesus was not a negative person. God is not a negative person. And his children, we are to call the things that are not as though they were. Amen. We are to change situations in our life. That's what we're called to do. Amen. Amen. Are you learning some? Okay, very quickly. False religion, it's self-deceived. It forgets all the time. You know what? It forgets all the time. No. Remember what's going on. You're looking at the Word of God. That's who you are. Let it speak to you. Let it change you. Number two, it doesn't control the tongue. We've talked about that already. Real religion controls the tongue. What does true religion do? True religion, look at verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted in the world. Couple of things, and I want to talk about the two things very quickly. Number one, it does something. Look what it says. True religion visits orphans and widows in their trouble. Now, I'm not saying that James isn't saying to care about orphans and widows. But there's a bigger picture here that I want to talk about. James is saying, here's what true religion does. True religion pays attention to the most vulnerable. Pays attention to the most vulnerable. So, and I'm not saying that we do a perfect job of it at this church, but we pay attention to those who are vulnerable. There's so many women, and they get pregnant. Many of them are Christian women. They just get caught up in young ladies, and they just get caught up in the, you know what, the guys that say, you know, oh, baby, you know what I mean? And they just, there's a real problem. We have a lot of fatherless women. Yeah, fatherless children. Many of them are women, so they're susceptible to the, hey, baby, and they want that affection. This is real. And so they get pregnant out of wedlock. Many of them love Jesus, and they call up, you know what, Planned Parenthood. What a joke. Planned Parenthood, the primarily thing that Planned Parenthood does is they have abortions. This is what they do. And the government funding of Planned Parenthood is gross. Forget what they, last year, I think taxpayers gave Planned Parenthood almost $500 million. Pastor, what does that have anything to do with us? Well, you know, I don't know. You believe Lincoln? Because Lincoln said, yeah, we are the government. Okay. I'm just saying, Pastor, you're getting all political. I'm not getting political. This is our, this is James. This is what we should be paying attention to, the most vulnerable. How much more vulnerable is there than these ladies who don't have any options? And we can provide them options. You know what? These children can be adopted. You know what? Or we can help, you know, raise these kids. I'm just saying. And I don't know what you've gone through. Maybe you're sitting there and you say, I've never heard this before. I thought abortions were okay. Well, do me a favor. Just start to do the medical research. Because in 1973, when they made abortion legal, it might have been able to believe that. But in 2016, to see, I'm trying to be real with somebody. Listen, we got to be honest with people. If you look and see the things that are happening to these children that are inside these women's wombs, we wouldn't do this. You know what? PETA has a better track record. I mean this sincerely. We treat dogs and animals better than we do the unborn children. And so, listen, I'm not here to confront you. I'm not here to, well, kind of. And maybe you've gone through an abortion. Maybe you're riddled with guilt. Or maybe you funded abortion. Maybe you're a guy and your girlfriend got pregnant and you just feel like, hey, listen, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But I'm saying as a church, we better be paying attention to the most. James says real religion pays attention to the most vulnerable. And so at the risk of offending, I don't say it for offense sake. I say it because, hey, listen, I thank God for all kinds of things that I did wrong, and I had pastors who had a willingness to say something to me that was truthful. And that confrontation. Hey, listen, I'm just asking, does anybody think here that everything they do is right? Let me tell you about Christianity. Christianity is about doing stuff that's wrong, coming to church, reading your Bible, being confronted with the truth, and then going, oh my goodness, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. God help me. This is my prayer. God help me to hate what you hate and to love what you love. Can I tell you what the Bible says God hates over and over again? The shedding of innocent blood. We have lost more human life in abortion, way more than we have lost in every single war that America has fought. All of them combined. All of them combined. And I'm just saying, hey, that's what we do here. One of the things that we do is with our tithes and offerings, one of the ministries that we support is Whittier Pregnancy Clinic. What is Whittier Pregnancy Clinic? All they do is just say, hey, look, women who are pregnant and they don't know what to do, you can call them and they'll give you resources to help. That's all. They're not critical, not judgmental. You don't go into Woodward Pregnant Clinic and they go, ooh, they're gracious, loving, caring people. God, help us. It's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying to help us to not be judgmental, to not have a critical spirit of anybody walking through those doors this year. I don't want anyone to feel chastised. I don't want anyone to feel like, you know what, Tamara and I are up here and you're down here. And we're self-righteous. I don't want anybody to feel that. But let me tell you what, if you think you're going to come in here and you won't be confronted with stuff, God, you missed it. God, confront us all. God, help us to change. Help us to have a mentality where you can say anything to us. Help us to have a tenderness. Help us not to be rebellious against what you said. You are true. Your word is true. You know that you are the only one that can speak truth. So help us as we've been deceived and we walk in pride and we grip with kung fu grip that which will hurt us. Help us to be humble and be willing and have a spirit of correction. Okay, listen, I've gone over, but please, here's the good news. The youth has probably gone over too, But it's important that we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. God, help us to be a church that we are not religious in a false kind of fakeness, but help what we learn from you to be applied. And I know that even tonight you might have stretched us all, but Father, help us to embrace your truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. It's interesting because we've been conditioned to think that it's a political issue or that it's a private issue, but it's not. It's a spiritual issue. We see so much in the Word of God. You'll see there's places when the Word was being taught and it says that the people were cut to the heart. And then there's two responses that you see right from the Word of God. One is they were cut to the heart and they said, what must we do?
Oh, yeah.
And then there's places where it says they were cut to the heart and they began to gnash their teeth and they wanted to stone the truth that was coming forth. So at the end of the day, this is only one thing. It's a spiritual issue that we're either God's people and we line up with God and we prepare ourselves to stand before him, or we're somebody else's people. There's a father of, it's in the First John, it's so good. There's children of the light and children of the darkness. They're not another kind of children, there's just two. So you're either for me or you're against me, right? We know the word, right? It's clear. So this is a spiritual issue. This is good. I'm just going to be real quick, guys. In New York, back in 2015, and some of you might know this and some of you don't know this, but they had a statue, and it was the Arch of Baal. And the Arch of Baal, Baal was a deity, you know what, in Israel that the Canaanites had. It was a god. An idol is what our God calls it. And so this Arch of Baal, they were putting it in New York. Isn't, I thought, whoa, what happened to separation of church and state and all that business? We got to take down every single cross that is anywhere across our nation and remove the Ten Commandments and all kinds of things that have to do with Jehovah. But it's no problem putting the Arch of Baal in a public place, right? What's that all about? It's about what I just said. Everything is spiritual. So that arch ended up getting blown up. I don't know if you know this or not. Back in 2015, ironically, ISIS didn't want it there, and they blew it up. But in 2016, they delivered another arch. So the Arch of Baal is in New York again. And so Jonathan Kahn, I just want to read to you. Baal was a Canaanite god in the Old Testament times. The Israelites grieved God by turning. This is why it's so important. We talked a lot about our sexuality and choices here tonight. But why is that? Well, because it's everything spiritual. And it's all about you and God. That's it. Not about us and you. Mm-mm. About you and God. About me and God. Amen? And so, where was I? They grieved God by turning from him and worshiping Baal, creating idols, participating in sexual immorality, and sacrificing their children to a pagan deity. The Israelites' unfaithfulness to God, even after he had brought them out of Egypt, incensed the Lord on many occasions, and he gave them over to their enemies. And so, if you understood spiritually how huge this is, and this is all about God's people, you know what, and what we do, you know what, concerning just our purity in our life, and it's all about our relationship with God. Amen.